Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Well, good. And for some reason, I have this funny feeling that somebody is going to say something about a certain football team.
Okay.
I'm just getting a weird vibe here.
Well,
it over with.
Of course, we have our expert in-house resident lender, Mr. Tom Coyne, also known as a Seahawks fan.
How about them Seahawks?
You just were loving overtime, weren't you?
It was incredible. I mean, what a game. Up and down. And they started slow, but finished strong.
Yeah.
You're lucky it wasn't the Pack they were playing.
Well, I understand you guys are going to be sending Schaub a Christmas card and a thank you card all in one.
Oh, man.
No, yeah.
Fantastic to see our local team just knocking it out. Best start in franchise history.
Oh, it's awesome. I can't wait for tomorrow to play the Colts. Great season.
Hopefully we go 5-0. Definitely. So we always like to start off with our celebrity real estate story, and this one is just crazy. Not a celebrity per se, but this is out of Las Vegas on the market, a completely underground home, 2-bedroom, 3-bath. 5,000 square feet, including a pool, spa, barbecue, sauna, and putting green. So what happened is this house is 25 feet underground. Gerard Henderson built this home in 1978. He had come into some wealth through he had an involvement in several companies. He was involved with Avon Cosmetics, Gulfstream Aerospace. Well, he believed the Cold War would lead to the end of the world, so he had two underground homes commission.
I knew it.
One in Boulder and one in Las Vegas. And it is really interesting. So they had to do special ventilation systems. They had special lighting to mirror kind of what was happening above ground.
How close does he live to Area 51?
Exactly. So really interesting pictures. I will say, though, the house looks very dated. It looks like some of the stuff has not been updated since 78, but with a price tag of $1.7 million. And they built, it looks like it's in the normal subdivision. They have above it built a regular-looking home they call the guest house. So if you get tired of being underground,
you guys hang out here. I'm going to go down in the basement for a while. I'll see you in the next millennium.
It is absolutely crazy.
Hey, when you're 25 feet down, you don't have to go as deep for your well, right?
Definitely. So pretty cool pictures if you want to type underground. I remember last year we had done a story up near Moses Lake. There was a missile silo that was for sale up there.
Mm-hmm.
Similar type of property. So very, very unique type properties.
You know, Lance, Doomsday Preppers producer is going to hear this show, and we might be able to see him on TV.
We might be able to see this listing on TV. If it hasn't been already, I definitely think it should be, for sure. So local real estate news story, I just want to remind everybody that it is the fall home show today and tomorrow. So you can head out there to the track and check that out. A lot of great vendors out there. Also, we had Jeff Losey from HBA Parade of Homes on. Another one of their events that they sponsor and put on. So there's a lot of great seminars and stuff going on out there today. So if anybody is looking for the fall ideas that you can come up with, head on over to the track and check out the fall home show over there. Now, to our topic this week, kind of a crazy week for you, Mr. Coyne, over there. There were some things that happened, and one of the things we talked about is what can happen sometimes outside influences during a real estate transaction that can really affect what goes on in that transaction that you cannot control. So this week, bam, government shutdown. And now that really threw a wrench in a couple things for you earlier this week. take it away, Tom. Let us know what happens to lending when this type of stuff goes on.
Yeah, you just never know what you're going to see on a day-to-day basis. Usually it's something that has to do directly with a loan transaction that comes up that you weren't expecting, and you got to overcome that challenge. But the latest challenge we're seeing in the industry has to do with this government shutdown. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this or may know people who even are affected by it. Maybe they were furloughed from their job. Hard to say. But it has a huge impact on the lending industry because so much of what we do is with government-sponsored lending programs. I thought it was fitting to go over some of the ways that the government shutdown is affecting the whole financing process. So let me touch base on that. First off, all USDA offices are closed. I've talked a lot about the USDA loan program on previous shows. USDA is the zero-down loan program that we offer to homebuyers who buy in what's considered rural areas. A lot of that West Pasco area qualifies for this program. But once we complete the processing of the USDA loan on our end, that's the point in which typical transactions are ready to close. We're then required to send that file to USDA for them to review and approve it. This has to be done before we can close the transaction. During the shutdown, we cannot send any files to USDA. So therefore, we're in a bit of a holding pattern on these loans. This will certainly create a lot of uncertainty for home buyers who are basically forced to wait until a shutdown ends. So we're hoping it happens soon, doesn't create too many delays. It's possible to say when that could happen.
Right, and one of the things that likely we've seen happen in the past is, they do extensions, you're back up and running for a little while, then you're concerned, will there be a backlog then? Normally right before the shutdown happened, we were seeing files come out in kind of record times, a couple days. Thank goodness we had a couple files pop out right before the shutdown, and we can proceed to closing with those transactions where we might not have been able to had it been during the shutdown.
Yeah, we had that. We had one transaction that came out on the 30th.
Yeah.
Right before it happened.
And so fortunately, people can move forward with those with their plans. So on the real estate side, one of the things you're looking at is, okay, we have gone ahead and we have scheduled a moving truck. We have them coming on a certain day. We have storage units set up. And so there's all of these things that are going to happen later on, and if we can't get that loan approval out, the seller's not going to be able to move, and the buyer's not going to be able to buy. So that is one very – and I even saw in the paper this week, how would you like to – a lot of these folks had scheduled to go to, like, Yosemite. Now, how would you like to have your vacation, scheduled, and you're there, and I saw in the paper this week, oh, I'm sorry, it's closed. they were letting people that said drive through the park but not use the facilities. I'd hate to think how many people have planned their vacation to be there and then can't actually use it like they had planned. So,
I didn't even think about that. But if you consider how many government parks there are, agencies that are intertwined in people's everyday lives, this affects a lot of people.
Okay.
Not to mention they shut down the panda cam at the zoo.
Right, exactly.
It's interesting. They even shut down a park that doesn't receive any federal funding.
Well, that is a little bit interesting. Maybe that should be on a different show. We try to figure that out. So it is all over. What else goes on in the lending world in these situations that people need to be aware of?
Well, most people have heard of FHA loans. We do a lot of FHA loans for our clients. FHA will be closing most of their offices as well. On the 27th, HUD stated that all their offices would be closed. They later came back on the 30th and said they're going to keep a limited number of people on staff to continue processing the mortgage applications. However, 96% of their staff will be in furloughed. So it's unclear how they're going to be able to handle the large load of loan applications. FHA alone insures 60,000 loans nationwide per month.
Wow.
So if you lose 96% of the workforce that helps handle the processing of those applications, you can imagine there's going to be delays.
Yeah, can you imagine the teachers at school, the principal shows up and says, hey, we got 100 teachers here and staff, but you four over there are just going to handle the school today. I mean, how's that possibly going to work?
That is basically what happened. So
yeah.
We're prepared for these delays. We haven't seen them yet. I'm kind of hoping it remains business as usual, and that by the time that a backlog starts to pile up, that this
we can take care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is, it's really interesting. And that was the first thing I think people were asking me, you know, when this week, I remember I took earlier this week, I had taken my son to hockey practice on Tuesday night, and all of this was just starting to come out, and everybody's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, some of our clients aren't doing anything. We're just having to wait. So definitely a topic on people's mind, and obviously very important in your industry on the loan side.
It really is. You know, one last thing I'll point out is with the IRS. The IRS offices are closed. And this impacts us because we have to get... You're over there dancing. I like it, John. So we have to get what's called tax return transcripts. This is how we verify the tax returns that the client gave us is what was filed for the IRS. It's really a great way to help reduce or prevent the possibility of fraud. If we can't get these transcripts, we're not able to verify these tax returns or what was filed with the IRS. We're going to try to find a way around this. This is still so new that, you know, we're working through the kinks and everything. But, you know, again, it's just another challenge that came up from this and another example of how you can't predict all the challenges you're going to face in a transaction.
Perfect. And on the real estate side, so I wrote down, you know, there's hundreds of possibilities of these types, but I wrote down some of the more frequent things that happen that we are always thinking about in the back of our mind and trying to have a contingency plan. And with over 20 people involved in the process, from contract to closing and all those different folks involved and points of contact, there's a lot of opportunities for an outside influence to affect something that you don't have a lot of control over. And the most basic number one thing that happens a lot of times is you write a contract generally with 10 days to get a home inspection done. A lot of times people have a specific home inspector that they're comfortable with or have used in the past or that they want to use. Well, you might go to schedule that appointment and that home inspector might be on vacation. Or they might be so busy because it's a busy time of year that with a weekend involved in there, they might not be able to get you in until the 7th or 8th day of your time period. So you're having to look at that right away and look at work schedules, inspector schedules, vacations, and a lot of things you can't control and try to get that done in that time period. So on a very simple basis, that's usually the number one thing that we kind of run into or come up with. Number two that I wrote down, this kind of goes to your end, Tom, you can speak to this a little bit, is once that home inspection is done and it is approved between the buyer and seller, they've come to an agreement of what they want to do moving forward. Generally, that's the time that you order an appraisal. Because you're comfortable moving forward. Now, tell me this, Tom, and it really doesn't work this way. In the old days, you would think, okay, the lender, Tom, just gets on the phone and calls up the appraiser and has him appraise it, but it doesn't go that way, does it?
Yeah, those days are long gone. There's a guideline or a rule called HVCC, and it basically says we cannot have any contacts with an appraiser. So we just send a request out to a third party, an appraisal management company, and then they're going to randomly select an appraiser to go out to the home. There's no communication with me directly on when is the appraiser going to be out there, how soon do we get that report back. So if we wait, and like you said, there's delays for an inspection, and it takes a week or so, it could take a week or two to get an appraisal back, we could be 3 weeks in a transaction before that appraisal even gets in.
Yeah, so all of a sudden we're wondering like why it takes 45 days to close. And yeah, like you said, maybe the appraiser's gone for 2 days. Maybe there's an email system down. Maybe the third-party management company might not even be in the same state as you are. So there's a lot of things to really think about, and the appraisal process is part of that. And since we don't have one of the things they've done to help prevent loan fraud and prevent collusion is they've taken that contact out to where the appraiser, the local appraiser, is pressured to bring in things at certain prices because they have that direct contact with those lenders. So to try to do that, they've added in another layer of protection so that that doesn't happen. But sometimes another layer of protection like that means delays and a new system and new people to get back to. Now, over the last 2 years, they've kind of worked a lot of that out, and it runs pretty well. But there's been many times where instead of we get used to getting appraisal back in, say, 7 to 10 days, all of a sudden you're doing one and you're out 14 or 15 days. and you're trying to figure out what's going on, well, you can't really call that appraiser directly because you would be in violation of that and figure out what is going on.
You know, Lance, I've had a couple transactions in Walla Walla, and there must only be one or two appraisers out there, but they've been taking about a month to get an appraisal back. So you think of if you're in a remote area, then it may be harder to get an appraisal, where in the old days, I'd call my guy up that's here local and say, hey, I know you don't want to do this, but can you make a run to Walla Walla to get this appraisal done for me?
Right. No, you're exactly right. So there's kind of the good and bad of it, but that is one of those outside factors that we cannot control, only monitor to the best of our ability. When we come back, I've got three amazing new properties. We've got, and then we're going to hit the rest of our points of these outside influences that can affect the transaction.
Right here on News Talk 870.
The Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about outside influences that can affect a real estate transaction that you might not think about. Thank you so much to the government shutdown this week for providing the topic. I hope you can hear the sarcasm through the radio there. Now, what hasn't shut down, though, is the fact that we're still listing great property and selling great property around the Tri-Cities. So I've got a couple that are just absolutely fantastic that have come on board. We have a brand new listing, and this is located at 3628 South State Street in Kennewick. Now, this is a four-bedroom, three-bath home, 2,442 square feet, and it's on 0.81 of an acre. It has an irrigated pasture with a loafing shed ready for your horses, huge in-ground pool, with a pool house that has a basement in it for storage, tons of updates. You've got new granite counters. You've got new floor tile, new carpet, new heat pump. I mean, they've gone through and totally decked this thing out. Great, great property, and that's priced at $258,000. So you are getting a lot for your money, and that is just a fantastic property. Been in their family for years. So we're super excited to have it back on the market with the Kenmore team. Pick number two, very, very, this house is like brand new construction. 580 Lake Rose Loop. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath home. It's in Badger Mountain Village, right off of Keene out there. Just over 2,300 square feet, built in 2010. Fully landscaped, gorgeous kitchen, granite counters, stainless steel appliances. They did about every upgrade imaginable when they built this house, and master on the main floor. And so a ton of people are out there looking for that. Great family room with stunning views, close to everything, close to Badger Mountain for hiking trails. And it is priced to sell at $260,000. So to get in South Richland, off of Keene, over 2,300 square feet for $260,000 is very difficult to do. Anybody looking in that market, this is a great one to look at. Pick number three is 144 Sell Lane. This is in Richland. This is a three-bed, two-bath Rambler, just over 2,000 square feet. It's got raised ceilings, new paint, big, bright living room, gas fireplace, and then the slider out to a covered patio. So beautiful, beautiful tile floors in the kitchen, huge master walk-in closet, jetted tub, and the master has access to the back patio also. So this is amazing landscaping, close to parks, and it's an extra big lot, almost a third of an acre. And this is priced at $244,900. So a lot of fantastic, fantastic new inventory out there on the market. We went over what are some of the things you cannot control on a project or you have to watch very carefully that is outside influences. The fourth thing that I wrote down is borrower loses job during a transaction. Doesn't always happen, but it is absolutely disastrous for a transaction. One of the things we have to be careful of is asking people is, what, you know, one of the questions you get on what are called employment verification forms, one of the questions you get is, what is the likelihood of continued employment? If an underwriter sees that it is not likely you're probably going to have a problem. And if a borrower does lose their job, Tom, this is going to cause you some havoc.
You know, it really would. The last thing we do before we send loan documents to the escrow company, so this is literally the day or two before closing, is we call the employer and do a verbal verification of employment. And it's real simple. We just say, does the client still work there? I've had it before where they say, no, he doesn't work here any longer.
Right.
And for one reason or another, you know, maybe he's working somewhere else or he just flat out got laid off and was trying to squeeze it through that we wouldn't find out. But it causes issues.
So that's one of the things to really, really look out for. As a borrower, if you have a financing contingency, it will cover that, but it is still very tough for all involved. Also, a change in the job status through a transaction can be difficult if they've changed the benefits or changed the pay structure. So that's one thing another thing to really be looking out for. Not so bad recently, but when we were having sequestration layoffs and that type of stuff earlier in the year, there were times where we had a couple of transactions where this really became a problem.
I had some clients that were building a house, and about halfway through the build, he broke his leg. And I've never run into this before, and he was able to get on short-term disability, and it caused a whole new set of issues that we had to deal with. We were able to work it out and qualify him off of the disability, but fortunately they were in a financial situation where they could still qualify with that lower amount. But it's, again, you know, just another thing you can't predict or expect.
Yeah, you're not expecting to break your leg during the real estate transaction and then have it cause you a problem.
I'll think twice before I tell somebody that then.
Exactly. So the next item that I wrote down is many times you get into a transaction, didn't know about it when you started, and major repairs are going to need to be completed for that house to go through. Whether you found stuff during the inspection period or the appraiser found stuff, maybe the roof won't get the certification that it needs to pass. So you have to do major repairs. One of the things that we see that happens anytime you start a repair project, and anybody that's been hands-on and does it, is when you attempt a major repair, a lot of times you find another problem throughout the course of that you didn't know about. You pull the roof shingles off and then the sheeting is soft and you need to replace some of the sheeting. So one of the things that's really difficult is when you start into fixing major problems, it's the other problems that are discovered that you sometimes find. So we're always letting all parties know about that potential problem and then trying to have a plan of action if something's discovered to come up with it. One of the things, too, is what is going to be the standard of work completed on those projects? If there is a wall that is bowed out and you have to fix the stud in that wall and then you go in and fix it, are you just going to repaint that wall where you fix the stud? Now is that one wall that's repainted not going to look good because the ceiling looks like a different color because you have fresh paint on the one wall? Are you going to blend it in to the rest of the wall? And so a lot of these things come up of identifying what your boundaries are and where you're going to stop, because it can get fixing, say, just a little crack in a ceiling, sheetrock settling crack can turn out to be a much bigger issue than just fixing that little crack. So that's a big one that we're looking after. Another thing that we seem to run into a lot, and I wrote down the dreaded 401k funds. Where are they and when are they going to get here? Many times people are using 401k funds as part of their down payment or using it to cover closing costs or purchase. And so that is a contingent source of funds. It's not a guarantee that the client has those in hand right now. And so, Tom, I know on your end this comes into play a lot.
We try to get the client to get that process started right away. Some servicers are really quick in getting the money over. It's within a week. But it could take 3 weeks with others. So the sooner they start that process when they're out looking for a home, the better.
Yeah, definitely. And so another thing, too, to note for buyers is please, please have a discussion with your agent that is going to be the source of your funds. What is not widely known and a lot of people don't do correctly is when you sign a standard purchase and sale agreement that most of the agents use in Tri-Cities, you are saying that you are not relying on a contingent source of funds for your down payment and you have the money available other than what's stated. Most people generally state the balance of the purchase price to be in a financing addendum from a conventional loan. And by doing that, they're not stating, however, which they would be obligated to do, and they stated otherwise, they're not stating that the other contingent source of funds is getting that loan. And so what they have done is kind of made a misrepresentation there by not stating that. So if you are getting the source of funds for that transaction from a contingent source and you do not physically have right now, you need to make your agent aware of that so then they can properly communicate that to the seller and keep you protected. It comes down to a matter of protection later in the transaction. So just kind of a disclaimer out there, these are things that happen outside of our control. When we're waiting for a 401k servicer that none of us have a lot of control over, we don't know exactly when those funds are going to come in. So these are really just a lot of things that can happen that you do not have control over.
Lance, we could have a two-hour show.
Yeah, we could just stay here all week and just keep running and then call other real estate agents. I'm sure I've just scratched the surface of it.
Yeah, but the moral of the story is that you just need to expect the unexpected. Go into it knowing that you're going to run into challenges. And if you go in with that mindset, you're going to leave the transaction a lot calmer and happier with how everything went.
And one of the greatest parts about my job is I guess I looked back and went through the dates and figured it out exactly. And I've been doing this now for 14 years. And so my wife told me to stop telling people it was 8 because I just made me feel younger. So now that I look at the real dates, you know, I've been in real estate for 14 years, I've seen a lot of these things that happen. The best part about my job, though, is I'm still seeing stuff every week that I've never seen before. And so we do get new ones, but it happens a lot less than it used to. So that experience, I've seen those. We can usually make a determination of what's happened, how to deal with it, and use that experience to help our clients and our listeners. A lot of great listeners called me with some amazing questions this week. Shout out to the spillover in our Walla Walla market. I got a couple of questions this week from listeners in Walla Walla. So thanks for listening, and we'd love to help you out as much as we possibly can. If you need anything to do with lending, Tom, how can people get a hold of you?
You can call me at the office anytime, 783-7300, or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And if you missed any of that, have any questions, you can always contact us through kenmoreteam.com. And we will be right back here next week
on News Talk 870.